If you've been here, you know that we've gone through the first four chapters of Daniel, and things began to interesting. There was all kinds of crazy stuff happening. Daniel and his buddies became vegetarians, which to me is like the ultimate sacrifice, you know, in chapter one. And then chapter two was the fiery furnace. No, that wasn't chapter two. Chapter 2 was Nebuchadnezzar had this dream, and he was like, I'm not telling anybody what the dream is. Somebody tell me what it was. And Daniel's like, no problem, dude. It was this. And Daniel just showed how big God was because he thought of this dream and then told him what it was and interpreted it for him. Chapter 3 was the crazy fiery furnace with Shadrach. Oh, nice. Dude, that was going back like 3 weeks. That was awesome. So that was that week, and we talked about, anybody remember what we talked about that week? Fiery furnace. Huh. That was a week, what? Oh. Yeah. Yeah, and we asked the question, if we really believe this true, why don't we live like we believe that's true, right? And then the next week, Jonathan spoke, and he spoke about
Charlie the lion.
The elephant and the lion.
The elephant and the lion, right. The dream about the tree, and then Nebuchadnezzar turned into a cow, right? And we talked about that for a while, and that was pretty awesome. And then he ended up asking the question, are we willing to live for Jesus? We asked a question the week before with the fiery furnace, are we willing to die for it? He asked the question, are we willing to live for Jesus? So this week, something crazy is going on. I got to get this gum out of my mouth. Awesome. So this week is a very interesting week. It's kind of crazy. Let me tell you a little bit of the backstory about what's going on. Nebuchadnezzar is dead. He's just gone kaput. It doesn't really tell you that in Daniel. It just kind of starts off with this new guy who's the king. And you're like, what the heck happened? So let me tell you what's going on. There's this guy who's the king, and his son is like co-king kind of deal. And so the guy who's the king goes off into war, and the son is co-king. His name is like Belshazzar, I think. Yeah, yeah. Belshazzar. So Belshazzar is like co-king, and his dad is the other co-king, and so he's staying put in Babylon, and he's like taking care of business here, and his dad's off at war. Well, what happens? They're at war with the Persians, the Medo-Persians, and what likely happened? We learn this from like historians. What likely happened is that the dad was out fighting the Persians, was defeated and got captured and probably like killed and like gutted and like crows probably ate his innards and stuff. It was pretty, what? Yeah, exactly. And so that's probably what happened to him. So the Persians like come up and they're like surrounding Babylon, right? So Babylon's this awesome city. It's got these huge walls. They're like, I heard like a lot of different stats on how high and how thick they were, but my favorite one was 90 foot high and 80 foot wide. That's probably not right, but this is massive, and they had towers that went up even higher than that. And so it was crazy, this huge wall, and then it's got like these series of moats and these other, you know, like smaller walls. And then it's got the Euphrates River, this huge river that runs right down the middle of the city, and it kind of like splits it in two. And so what's happening is the Persians are surrounding Babylon now. And this is like years later, like 70 years later after the last story. So this is a long time later. And the Persians are surrounding it, and they're going to, like, besiege the city. Sorry. They're going to besiege the city, and I don't know what's going on with my throat today. They're going to besiege the city, and this is what's happening. Chapter 5. King Belshazzar gave a great banquet for 1,000 of his nobles and drank wine with them. Now check it out. The Persian army is like surrounding the city, and this dude's like, I'm going to throw a party for my 1,000 closest friends. Anybody have 1,000 friends on Facebook? Are you serious? Oh. 1,500 friends? Is there 1,000 people in Lebanon? I'm just kidding. I was wondering because I've never been there, but I'm assuming there's probably. Really? Oh, man. I am not popular. So anyways, this guy has like 1,000 of his popular, most popular friends, you know, and they're all just like cruising and having this huge banquet. And it's like massive, right? There's like some, one of the historians kind of like describes some of the stuff. And they go so far as to have ostriches that walk around the court pulling carts behind them with like appetizers on it. And you're like, that is an awesome party, right? So for the next party we throw, we're getting ostriches and we're going to make them pull appetizers around. So this king is so cocky. He's like, my wall is so big, it's like 80 foot thick and like 90 foot high, and I have these other towers that are even taller and have a moat, and we have all kinds of food and water, and we're good to go. Not even worried about you guys. We're going to throw a big party. So it's like right in the face of this army, right? So that's what's going on. While Belshazzar was drinking his wine, he gave orders to bring in the gold and silver goblets that Nebuchadnezzar, his father, had taken from the temple in Jerusalem, so that the king and his nobles, his wives, and his concubines might drink from them. Now, quick note, Nebuchadnezzar wasn't his actual, like, dad, but it's more like Nebuchadnezzar was like his grandpa, basically. So it was like, you know, anyways, it was, what's that? Yeah, right. Well, he had a bunch of sons, but one of them, they all died. They're all dead, dude. It was a long time ago. But anyways, that's just a side note. So they brought in the gold goblets. This is all from chapter 1 when they kidnapped Daniel and his friends and they took these gold goblets, right? Verse 3. So they brought in the gold goblets that had been taken from the temple of God in Jerusalem, and the king and his nobles, his wives and his concubines drank from them. As they drank the wine, they praised the gods of gold and silver, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone. Check this out. So they're drinking this wine, having this huge party. Ostriches are like cruising around everywhere. And this happens. Has this ever happened to you? Suddenly, the fingers of a human hand appeared and wrote on the plaster of the wall near the lampstand in the royal palace. Seriously, right now? You can't make this stuff up. The king, like fingers show up out of nowhere. Question. Exactly. Fingers.
No, big hand.
Not a hand. It's unclear. It's either just fingers or fingers and a hand, but nothing else. Okay, so anyways, these fingers appear out of nowhere. Are you missing the point here? There's fingers appearing out of nowhere. And nothing else. The king watched the hand as it wrote. So this hand is not only appearing out of nowhere, but it's like writing stuff. This is craziness. I tried to like figure out a way to like make this happen behind me to freak you guys out. I got nothing. So I prayed that God would show up. So we'll see. Hopefully he doesn't write on the screen because that'd be bad. So the king's face turned pale and he was... You're going to have to... Go bigger than that. No, you got to go bigger than that. No. His face turned pale and he was so frightened that his knees knocked together and his legs gave way. So this guy passed out, right? This guy's like Matt Sonke on the houseboating trip. He fainted. You young people and new people don't get that, but we had an SLI intern over the summer 2 years ago and he cut his finger on the houseboating trip and he fainted. It was hilarious. Anyways, the king called out for the enchanters, astrologers, and diviners to be brought and said to these wise men of Babylon, whoever reads this writing and tells me what it means will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around his neck. He will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom. Now, he's only the third highest because there was like co-kings, right? So he was the second highest, and his dad, who was either kidnapped or dead, was the first highest. Then all the king's wise men came in, but they could not read the writing or tell the king what it meant. So King Belshazzar became even more terrified, and his face grew more pale. His nobles were baffled. So this guy is getting cocky, right? He's throwing this huge party while his army is like besieging it. This hand comes out of nowhere, writes something that nobody can read on the wall, and just like vanishes into thin air. And his king is like freaking out. He's not sure if he just is hammered drunk or things are really going bad here. So verse 10, the queen, hearing the voices of the king and his nobles, came into the banquet hall. O king, live forever, she said. Don't be alarmed. Don't look so pale. There, I like that too. Some of you guys can't help it, though. No names to be mentioned. Colton. Sorry, dude. I had to call you out. You're pale. I'm just kidding. Don't be so pale. Don't be so pale. There's a man in your kingdom who has the spirit of the holy gods in him. In the time of your father, he was found to have insight and intelligence and wisdom like that of the gods. King Nebuchadnezzar, your father the king, I say, appointed him chief of the magicians, enchanters, astrologers, and diviners. This man Daniel, whom the king called Belshazzar, was found to have a keen mind and knowledge and understanding, and also the ability to interpret dreams, explain riddles, and solve difficult problems. Call for Daniel, and he will tell you what the writing means. So Daniel was brought before the king, and the king said to him, "Are you Daniel, one of the exiles? I have heard that the spirit of the gods is in you, and that you have insight, intelligence, and outstanding wisdom. The wise men and enchanters were brought before me to read this writing, tell me what it means, but they could not explain it. Now I have heard that you are able to give interpretations and to solve difficult problems. If you can read this writing and tell me what it means to you, you will be clothed in purple and have a gold chain placed around your neck, and you will be made the third highest ruler in the kingdom." Now check it out. Daniel is like between 85 and 90 now. 85 and 90. Keep that in mind. Verse 17. Keep in mind. Still in mind? Then Daniel, how old was he?
12.
He was verse 17 years old. Then Daniel answered the king, "You may keep your gifts for yourself and give away your rewards to someone else. Nevertheless, I will read the writing for the king and tell him what it means. O king, the Most High God gave your father Nebuchadnezzar sovereignty and greatness and glory and splendor. Because of the high position he gave him, all the peoples and nations and men of every language dreaded and feared him. Those the king wanted to put to death, he put to death. Those he wanted to spare, he spared. Those he wanted to promote, he promoted. Those he wanted to humble, he humbled. But when his heart became arrogant and hardened with pride, he was deposed from his royal throne and stripped of his glory. He was driven away from people and given the mind of a cow. He lived with the wild donkeys and ate grass like cattle, and his body was drenched with the dew of heaven until he acknowledged that the Most High is sovereign over the kingdoms of men and sets over them anyone he wishes." Now check that out. That's a pretty crazy explanation of what happened to Nebuchadnezzar. "But you, his son, O Belshazzar, have not humbled yourself, though you knew all this. Instead, you have set yourself up against the Lord of heavens. You had the goblets from his temple brought to you and your nobles, your wives and your concubines, and you drank from them. You praised the gods of silver and gold, of bronze, iron, wood, and stone, which cannot see or hear or understand, but you did not honor the God who holds in his hand your life in all your ways. Therefore, he sent the hand that wrote the inscription." Now, check this out. Can you just picture this? So he's standing before the king. If you remember, like, last week, 2 weeks ago, when we talked about when he... 3 weeks ago, when he came before Nebuchadnezzar, who was like this powerful dude, and he's like, has to interpret this dream. He's like super respectful and kind of like playing it cool. He's like an old dude here. I mean, do you guys know any, like, I don't want to bash on old people, but sometimes old people, you know, they get really like grumpy and they just get very like blunt. You know what I'm saying? They're just very blunt with you, right? They're just like, you know, pull up your pants, you know, or like, why do you wear that stuff? Or your music is terrible. Or you just get very blunt with you, you know what I'm saying? And so he's just like old dude with a cane who's in front of the king. He's like, "Dude, you're a screw up. You knew what was going to happen. It happened to your grandpa, and yet you're doing it too. You're a screw up." So this old, like, grumpy guy who's just being very blunt. Verse 25. "This is the inscription that was written. Many, many tekel parson." This is what those words mean. Many, that's what it says. many, God has numbered the days of your reign and brought it to an end. Ah, crap. And he said it twice. Tekel, you have been weighed on the scales and found wanting. No, what's it called from this? Perez or Parson, your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. What are you doing?
I'm my hand writing on the wall.
Perez or Parsons. I don't know what to do with that. I don't know what's happening. Careful when you rush today. I start kicking people sometimes. Your kingdom is divided and given to the Medes and Persians. Then at Belshazzar's command, Daniel was clothed in purple. A gold chain was placed around his neck, and he was proclaimed the third highest ruler in the kingdom. That very night, Belshazzar, king of Babylon, the Babylonians, was slain, and Darius the Mede took over the kingdom at the age of 62. Oh, crap. Now, check it out. This is how this happened. So that very night, history tells us this, that very night, the Medes and Persians, what they did was they dug this huge trench, and they diverted the whole Euphrates River into this swamp so that the army could go under the gate where the river used to flow through, could go under the gate. Somebody accidentally left these huge bronze doors unlocked, probably because they were all wasted, which, lesson for tonight, don't get drunk because you get taken over by the Medes and Persians.
Well, wouldn't they have blocked it before?
Apparently not, because they didn't. So these huge bronze doors were unlocked, and so the whole army just kind of came in, and it was this like peaceful revolt. Nobody died except for the king, and they just kind of like took over. And so that's how this happened. So this is like Daniel like telling this story. And I got to tell you, there was a lot of people who thought the book of Daniel was like a farce and like a lot of made-up stories because nobody could find like other historical evidence of Belshazzar himself or any of this stuff that was happening. And then they just, in like the 50s or 60s, found some cave. It wasn't the Dead Sea Scrolls, but some other cave that had all these historical documents that were not the Bible that were talking about all of this. And so it was this like crazy thing. So anyways, I was reading through this story, and I was like, man, what is this story trying to tell me? What is this story trying to tell us? You know, I'm not like a king. I don't have 1,000 friends. I can't throw a party for 1,000 people. I don't, you know, like probably even half of you guys wouldn't come if I threw a party. So like 1,000 people is just not going to happen. So this isn't, yeah, you're half. So that wasn't an insult. I mean, like you're in the good half. That's what I was trying to say, you know? Yeah. You're in like the, yeah. So anyways, it's like, what does this have to do with me? And I've never really like stolen goblets from church. Have any of you guys? Be honest. I want to see hands. Borrowed goblet? Yeah, there's a maybe. Like my pimp cup. Yeah, that's. I should have brought that here. It's in my office. Dang it. So I'm like, man, what is this trying to say? You know, if you know, here's an obvious message: is if you stolen something from God, you should probably give it back. But really, here's what I came out with. What if? We're going to play a what if game real quick. I know, me too. What if? God came to you and had a message for you and wrote on your wall. Dude, I'm gonna sign up as God. I'm gonna go write on all your walls on Facebook. What if when you went to bed tonight, you were laying there, and all of a sudden this like spotlight comes down, and your Miley Cyrus poster comes off the wall.
No.
I know, and you're like, ah, no. And it comes like off the wall and it falls to the ground and this hand like appears in the spotlight, right? And just starts writing about how you were living for God. What would it say? the hand came into your room and started writing, and it was a message from God directly to you, what would it say? Would it say, you know, Jordan, I'm really proud of you. You've been doing everything you can to love me. You've been doing everything you can to love the people around you. You're awesome. I'd like to think so, but maybe not. Would it say, you know, Bobby, try to pick somebody who's not here. Bobby, you've been putting your girlfriend, or Sally, you've been putting your boyfriend in front of me. Why you been doing that? Or would it say, why do you say that you're a Christian? You don't even hang out with me. Why do you say you're a Christian? You don't even know who I am. What would it say? I spent some time thinking about this for myself this week. I want to give you guys some time. Think about it for yourself. If God was coming into your room tonight and he was going to write on your wall a message from him to you about how you're living, what do you think it would say? Or if that's a little too hard for you, a little too personal, what do you think God would say if he showed up here tonight? He was writing on the wall here. What do you think he'd say to us as a youth group? What do you think he'd say we've been doing good? What do you think he'd say we can improve on? What do you think he'd say about what we've been missing the point? We have about 10 minutes left. And a couple of us are going to just play couple more songs and and worship, and maybe we'll kill the lights, and you can sing along if you want, you can sit and think if you want. I wanted to try something today, and this is totally up to you guys. Do it if you want to do it, don't if you don't. But if you're sitting there right now and you really think God has something to say to you about what he would write on that wall, or something that he would say to us as a youth group, there's a wall. Inside here, there's a little table. It's got Daniel 5 opened up. There's a lamp that somebody put in my office. I have no idea where it came from, so I brought it up here. And there's some permanent markers. Top of the wall says, many, many tekel parson. If you want to, go write what you think God would write to you. Or go write what you think God would write to us. Totally up to you. If nobody does it, it's okay. We'll figure out something else to do with that wall. But if you want to, do it. We're going to play a couple songs, and then after the end, we'll close. So during those songs, feel free to sit, feel free to sing, feel free to be silent, feel free to go find a corner and just spend some time with God, feel free to open a Bible and read through it, feel free to go in here and write what you think God would write to you or to us. Spend this time how you want to spend this time. Play video games if you want. As long as you do it quietly. Text somebody if you want. As long as you do it quietly. But if you really want to spend some time with God, thinking about God, if I have to evaluate myself right now, if I thought you were going to write me a message, what would it be? Spend some time doing that. So we're going to do some songs right now. Maybe if you can kill the lights. And I don't know if we have slides or not. I don't know if we need them either. We're just going to spend some time singing.